Well, I want to cover something that is a little more of a detailed study to try and get the chronology correct. Okay? Now, first of all, let's come to the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark. Okay? And I was sitting down there by Jonathan, and he's got his speed up on his smart Bible, and he beat me to every passage. Now, if you don't have the apps on your smart device, check, what is that, a faithful version? Check a faithful version, and you can... you can load it down on your smart device. All right. Now then. Come here to Luke 24. See, I snuck up on you and got there first.
Mark.
Okay, Mark. Okay. All right. Mark 16. Mark 16. Okay. Now, if you don't have the harmony of the Gospels, which I'm sure everybody here has, but for those out in video land, be sure and write for it. Now, what you're going to find with the different books that we have, they all sooner or later come around to the Passover. Okay? Now, for a detailed study on the Passover, we have this book, The Christian Passover, plus it's on audio. So if your eyes are not as strong as they used to be, and if you're seeing double, as long as you're not hearing double, we will send you the audio, okay? And we want to have all of our books on audio. However, there's one thing that you can't really study unless you get to the physical word. So here we are, Mark 16. Now, remember, Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday in the grave and raised toward the end of the Sabbath. Then he ascended to the Father on the first day of the count to Pentecost. That's a type of the wave sheaf offering. Now, the King Jamers, in translating this, did not understand the Greek, which they should have, because verse 2 is the correct translation. And very early on the first day of the weeks. Why would that be plural? Not first day of the week. See, they believed in keeping Sunday, yet they rejected the Catholic Church, but they still followed it. Now, how's that for a bifurcated thought? You know, it's like, remember John Kerry running for president? He said, well, I voted against it before I voted for it. Okay, well, that's the way the Protestants are. We're against the Catholic Church. Oh, but we'll keep their Sunday and their Christmas and all of this sort of thing, see? Okay, in the Greek, it is clear. This is plural. And it's plural in Matthew and in Luke and also in John. First day of the weeks. Why? Because this is the first day of counting how many weeks? 7. Okay? Now then, let's come to a problem, some problem scriptures here. Acts, the 20th chapter. Acts 20. Now, when does the first day of the weeks come? And what day of the week is it on? It is on the first day of the week. See, because the command in Leviticus 23 is that on the day after the Sabbath, I've got this explained in a letter for May, that the priest was to wave the premier sheaf, the first of the first fruits. That was a ritual of a type of Christ ascending to the Father as the firstborn from the dead. Okay? That happened during the feast of unleavened bread. And it's the first day of the week during the feast of unleavened bread. Most of the time, it is after the Sabbath. Okay? Once in a while, the Passover day is on a Sabbath, and the next day is the wave sheaf offering day. Now, why is that? Well, because you have to deal in whole weeks. Okay? I explained that in the letter. But most of the time, you have the Passover, then you have the Sabbath during unleavened bread, then you have the first day of the weeks being the first day of a week, but the first day of a count of 50 days. Okay? So the question becomes, Acts 20 and verse 6. So let's read this. And how do we understand the problems here in chronology? Okay? Verse 6. But we sailed away, we'll explain who the we are in a little bit, from Philippi. Now, where's Philippi? Philippi is over in Macedonia in Greece. Okay? After the days of unleavened bread, which means Passover was completed, first day of the weeks was completed and counted, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was finished. Okay? And in 5 days we came to them in Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. So that's a total of 12 days right there. Now, verse 7. Here's where the complication comes in. And this is why the King James has it wrong. They want Paul preaching on a Sunday so they can turn to there and say, Paul did away with the Sabbath because he's preaching on Sunday. And it appears to be totally disconnected from the Feast of Unleavened Bread, does it not? Yes, indeed. Now, on the first day of the weeks, why is that after how many days? 12 days plus 8 counting the Passover? Okay, so that's 20 days. Why is that there? Now, on the first day of the weeks, when the disciples had assembled to break bread, Paul preached to them because he was going to leave in the morning, and he continued speaking until midnight. So therefore, if you don't know the calendar of God, and if you don't know the sequence of events here, and you're thinking in terms of straight line chronology, you'll never understand this. And if you read the King James Version of the Bible, you will miss it completely. So let's apply some of the 14 rules of Bible study. Okay? Read the verses before. Read the verses after. Read what does it say? What does it not say? Ask the question, who wrote it? And to whom was it written? Now, if we apply the rules of Bible study correctly, we will understand that there is absolutely no contradiction here, and the chronology is absolutely correct when you piece it together properly. All right, let's go to verse 1. Now, when the tumult was over, Paul called the disciples to him and embraced them, and he, Notice, he, how many were with him? None. He went to go into Macedonia. Now, he was at Ephesus when the tumult occurred. So he got out of the country and went over to Macedonia. So he got in a ship and sailed from what would be the west coast of northern Turkey over to the east coast of Macedonia. All right? And after passing through these parts and exhorting them with much speaking, he came to Greece. That means he came down to Corinth and Athens. Okay? That's quite a little journey in itself. So when you go back over your notes, you look at a map and try and figure out where these things are. All right? Now, after he had been there for 3 months, look at all the time that was involved. See? He was going to sail to Syria. Now, question. Who wrote this? Paul? No, it's in the second person. He. Third person. Thank you. Okay? He. Little grammar correction here on the side. That's good. We need that. Dolores looked at me with the same thing. Huh? What's that? How about the fourth person? That sounds interesting. Okay. Who's doing the writing? We'll see. It's Luke. Okay? Luke. He was going to sail to Syria, but when he learned that the Jews were lying in wait for him, because he could have gone right across from Corinth over to Asia, right across the Aegean Sea. Okay? They were lying in wait for him, so he decided to return through Macedonia. So instead of going east by sailing across the Aegean Sea, he went north to avoid the Jews and went back to Macedonia. Now then, when he got to Macedonia, something happened. Look at the change here. Verse 4. And these accompanied him as far as Asia. Okay? So then we have Paul singular. Now we have Paul with these additional companions. Sopater, a Berean of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, and Secundus of Derbe, and Gaius and Timothy of Asia, and Tychicus and Trophimus. Now then, pay very special attention. They accompanied him as far as Asia. Okay? These went on ahead and waited for us in Troas. These, meaning the ones who temporarily joined Paul when he went across from Macedonia to northeastern Asia, and then Troas is up closer to the Dardanelles. So they went up there and waited. Okay? For who? Luke, all right, and whoever was with Luke. But we, that is Luke and his group, sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. In 5 days we came to them in Troas, at where we stayed for 7 days. Now that is Luke's group, okay? Now, those who left Paul and went over to Troas, the question remains, what did Paul do? Because he wasn't with them over in Troas. And you cannot have the first day of the weeks take place nearly 3 weeks after the first day of the weeks occurred, if you have a straight line chronology. Okay? So, verses 7 through 12, as we will see, is a section that is inset. not in the chronology. So I want you to go from verse 6 down to verse 13, because the chronology at the end of verse 6 picks up again in verse 16, or 13 rather. From 6 to 13, then we'll go back and read the rest. Then we went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for he had so appointed, since he himself was going on foot. So the group that traveled with Paul from Macedonia to Asia went on ahead to Troas. Paul walked down to wherever the brethren were. And he got down there probably before Passover, kept Passover in the first part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread with them. Okay? Now, normally the first day of the weeks is not a holy day. On occasions, it is. So this must not have been a holy day, first day of the weeks. Okay? So let's go back and read it. See? There's all this missing time that Paul had to get there, to be with the brethren. And it took all the time for them to come across after unleavened bread. And then they stayed there, took 5 days to get there. Then they stayed 7 days. So Paul went down to Assos right after this section here, verses 7 through 12, he left and went on down to Assos and waited for them until they came. How long was that? We're not told. But he said, I'll meet you in Assos. So let's read what happened. This was the notable thing that occurred while he was with the brethren before he got to Assos. Now on the first day of the weeks, when the disciples had assembled to break bread, Paul preached to them because he was going to leave in the morning. All right, so this is in the evening, right? This was ending Sabbath services, correct? You end Sabbath services and then the first day of the weeks begins, okay? He's going to leave in the morning. He continued speaking until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upper room. That's because the electricity was shut off. Aren't we spoiled with electricity? See? Where they were assembled. And there sat in the window a certain youth, Eutychus, who was overpowered by deep sleep after Paul had been speaking for a long time. Now, we don't know how long that was, but if they broke bread, say, about 5 or 6 o'clock, how long was Paul speaking? 6 hours. You know, you need a long attention span. He should have been sitting in a chair instead of up on the edge there. Okay. And he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and laid himself upon him and embraced him and said, do not be anxious, for his life is in him. And after he had gotten up again and had broken bread and eaten, so they had a midnight snack. You ever do that? Hey, with all this going on, look, we have food left. We got food left. We're going to eat here in just a little bit. Okay? Leftovers from yesterday. Now, Dolores and I plan our meals with leftovers. Okay? And the reason we do that is because that saves extra working and preparing every meal. See? So I have a meatloaf. What do you have? Meal for 2 days, unless you eat more. Okay? Well, yesterday we had more food than we could handle, so we got leftovers today. Now, if there are leftovers of the leftovers, we'll have some of the bachelors take it home so they can have something to eat when they get home. Okay? Even if you're not a bachelor, go ahead and take some. Okay? Okay, so after they had broken bread and eaten and had talked for a long time, even to daybreak. Now, have you ever been to services where you start right after you have dinner, you go to midnight, an accident happens, a miracle takes place, you're all excited, you got all this adrenaline in you, you eat some more food, and then Paul says, I got something else to tell you. Okay? Then we went on ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos. So this was an extended period of time. We don't know how long it was. We don't know what was taking place through all of that. But then Paul was anxious to get on down to Jerusalem. Okay. So, and we don't even know what year. If we knew what year this was, we could run the calculations from the calculated Hebrew calendar and get the set of days on it. But this is why when you read different things, you have to read carefully. And if it doesn't make sense, it's not that there is something wrong with the Bible. Now, one Church of God group says that this is proof that you can have the wave sheaf offering after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. How can that be? It cannot be, see? So when the Passover falls on the Sabbath, the first holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread falls on a Sunday. That Sunday is the first day of the weeks counting to Pentecost. Now this year, it was a little different. We had Passover Friday, which then was Thursday night. Then we had the night to be much observed, Friday night. Then we had the Sabbath, okay, which started Friday night. Then the first day of the weeks was Sunday, okay? So we are finishing today the first week in the count of 7 weeks toward Pentecost. And every week has to end in a Sabbath. Now, I know that's a little technical, but we do have to approach some of those things so we can get an understanding of it. So let's do this. Let's take a break. Now, instead of moving all the tables again, how about if we just set out the food, eat the food, whatever's left over, eat some more, whatever's left over, take it home, whatever is left over, throw it out. Okay. So let's go ahead and take a pause and we will get to the food.